Hey, everybody. We're back for podcast number 2 of the Joe's Bad Podcast. Today's date is November the 12th, 2020. Just coming off of that first podcast, I'm off of a little high right now, and it's amazing. We got a good show for you today. Today's guest is going to be none other than Vanessa Bautista, straight out of Sherland. Sherland's not a city, straight out of Mission, yeah. Should I say. And this girl, Vanessa, she's got a great story to tell. She's got a great insight on certain items that we're going to be talking about. So let's give it up for Vanessa Bautista, everybody. Thank you for coming by.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys, for everyone that's watching. And thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Vanessa. Vanessa, first and foremost, let's not break any time here, but you know, I've only met you once, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And that one time that I met you, you left a lasting impression of just how nice you were, and just in regards to the kindness that you and your family presented to me. But I do know that you're from California, and
yes,
Cali has a nice deep spot in my heart. I love Cali. Every time I go, it's my birthday, I go to LA.
Oh, really?
So yeah, it's a great time. Tell me a little bit about your background. How is it that California impacts your life?
Well, I mean, like you said, I was born there. I didn't grow up there just because my parents brought us all when I was 2 or 3. So I don't remember much. I know my older brother and my sister, they did go to school there. They can tell you more stories about that. But I mean, I've gone back since then. I go visit family. I still have my mom's side of the family over there. And I love it. I love the people there. It's different. Some parts, but it's just so different. The environment, just the way they treat you. I love the weather. The weather is that's like my favorite thing, I've always said. And I don't know, just, I want to go back soon. I'm going to go back soon once this whole pandemic is over with. It ever happens.
You know, I just turned on the live video on the Facebook page. So I got two cameras going. I'm just messing with this. So I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying to have fun with it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's fine.
But the weather, man, the weather in Cali is amazing. Is it always like 60 degrees or 70 degrees? I mean, what's going on with the weather?
I think it's like in the 80s. I want to say like the times I've gone, it's like in the 80s. So it's a good, I'm always cold. So I have like a long sleeve, but at night it gets cold for me. It's like in the 60s. It's just a perfect, like you have a perfect day and then the perfect night. And then Disneyland and Six Flags over there. Oh, like I just can't wait to go back.
I've never personally gone to Disneyland. I've never, what's that other place that you said?
There's a Six Flags Magic Mountain. There's Knott's Berry Farm. One place that I do want to go to and I haven't is Universal Studios
in Cali.
That's a place. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to go there.
Man, I've never been there. I tend to stay in LA. And I remember the first time I went there, I said, you know what? I got to go to Compton. I got to go to Long Beach. I got to, you know, all the places that Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre talked about.
Yeah.
Alexa,
yeah, I've never been.
Play California Love.
Yes. I've never been there. Long Beach, I've gone to go, like, you know, walk, but I've never stayed there.
All right, Alexa, stop. I love Alexa. Do you have an Alexa?
I don't. They offered me one with my SiriusXM. They were trying to get me to sign up, and they're like, I think it was called, or Echo Dot. They're like, you know who Alexa is? And I was like, yeah, it's like that. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but no, Alexa's amazing. I mean, I bought one for my wife. I bought one for the kids. I think we're at a point where like Alexa's become our best friend.
Yeah, she would be my best friend too. Yeah, if she got up and cleaned and whatnot.
Well, that's what the EcoVacs are for. The Roombas, you got one of those?
Yeah, no, but we're planning on getting a home in the next year. Uh-huh. So for sure, that's one of the things on my list. That's the first thing on my list, actually.
They're amazing. I tell you, my wife loves it. She says, we got to name it. Like, the first day we got her, she named her Robutina.
Robutina, that's a good name.
Yeah.
Robutina. Real creative.
So... So it's one of those things where we just say, you know, turn on Robotina, and Robotina just goes. And at first I had my reservations about it, because I was like, really, it's not gonna freaking do what we can do.
Yeah.
Every single day I that dustpan, it's crazy. It's like dirty. It's yeah.
Do you have any pets
in there? No, we used to have a dog. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Oh, okay.
But, sorry. Yeah. No. Do you?
No, we want one. So whenever we moved into that new house, so that's why I was thinking of getting the Roomba. Because they shed.
Dogs and cats?
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
No cats, just dogs. I mean, I like cats, but they scratch and they can be kind of mean sometimes.
Did you have a dog growing up? I mean, tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. I did have a dog. Her name was Kiara. She was a chocolate lab. I begged and begged and begged my dad. But I'm real like, okay, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to clean up after it. So it was an outdoor dog.
Yeah.
And I did for the first couple of months. But after a while, like, I have two little brothers. So they would do whatever I would tell them. But I guess they grew up and they stopped listening to me. So they just got, like, her kennel got dirty. So my dad gave her away while I was at work.
My first dog that I had when I first had a house, the first time I bought a house, was a chocolate lab.
And yeah, they're so cute.
They're amazing, but they are traviesos, really, man. I swear.
Yes. Look, like, so what happened was that I would always take her out of her kennel. So back then we used to have like acres in the back that would go towards like Benson. So she would always jump in the pool, and my dad hated that because of the filter. So he's like, she can't get in the pool. I'm like, okay. And one day I let her out and she ran all the way towards Benson, like towards 6 Mile. And I was like, oh my God. So after that, I stopped. I didn't let her out. So that's whenever like it went downhill, but she was the best dog. Like, I loved her. I can't wait to get another one.
Again, they're great. They look beautiful. Man, my chocolate lab, I had to find her another home for with my uncle that could take better care of her. Man, she messed up my backyard. Here I was, she would always be digging, and yeah, it was just one of those things.
We want a German short hair pointer. And no, we're going to go get a train because we can't, like, it's going to be a new house. We can't have the backyard messed up.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's tough, man. That's tough. So then, okay. So you left California to Texas. You came over here and you moved to Texas. You went through Sherryland school system. I heard that you were a big sports fan. Like, you were all into sports. Tell me about that. What were you into?
In elementary, I was always the one playing with the boys. I would get stiff-armed by boys when we're playing football. I hated it because I was really small. Like, I've always been small. Going to junior high, I played everything except for tennis and golf. That never interested me. Once I got into high school, my freshman year, I did softball and I did track. But since they were in the same season, I was never home. Like, I would literally wake up, go to school, like, go to practice, like, come back home and sleep, and then again. So going sophomore year, I just stuck with softball. Softball and Coach Cruz. He's like another dad.
Right on.
But yeah.
Did y'all like win any district championships or state championships?
Not state. We in high school, we didn't get past the second round of playoffs. We always made playoffs. La Jolla was the one to beat. They had, man, those girls were freaking awesome. We finally tied with them, I think, my senior year, or we beat them. I'm not 100% sure, but that was like the best. That game in softball, there's 7 innings. I think that game took 9 or 10 innings. and we finally beat them at home also. So, but we didn't go past the second round.
Wow.
And, yeah.
And is it true? I mean, for all the little girls listening out there, I mean, is there a lot of relationship building? Is there a lot of team building? Is there like a lot of lessons learned when you're playing not just softball, but team sports?
Yes. I mean, so growing up, I always learned that respect, like, was the number one thing, and like your friendships, like in high school. So once you go from elementary to junior high, like you meet new people, new friends, right? But from junior high to high school, my group of friends, I was always the type to hang out with everybody. But I had like my close friends were the girls on my team. Mm-hmm. Because we were together all the time. Like we were always like with each other. So I think being in sports also, it teaches responsibility. Like you're accountable for what you do in your position. Like without you, like everything falls, or like without someone in that position, like everything can fall apart. So that's one thing it really taught me. Just the discipline part. And I was scared of my coach. So yeah. I wouldn't even hold hands with my boyfriend at the time in front of him.
No,
that was that like respect. I had him like super high.
Were you scared of the workouts because of certain like thing? I mean, what was permissible and what was not permissible? I mean, I got to know this.
I got in trouble once. I think it was one of the years I was real, and I'm still real. Like stubborn. And I had a teacher, she told on me. It was a science teacher. Oh, she told on me, and I got in so much trouble. So his punishment for me, it wasn't really a punishment for me because I love sprints. I loved running. So, but he made me sprint back and forth. And but, I mean, I just found it as fun.
But the people of the podcast, of the Joe's About podcast, want to know, what did the teacher tell the coach?
No, it was so dumb. It's because we were like in the new AP tests were out, and we were in this auditorium, and we were not allowed our phones. So I was texting, but I wasn't looking down because I had already the keyboard memorized, and she caught me. So I was like, okay. And then it was full. So she like embarrassed me. So I put my phone in my backpack, and then I started messing with my nails, and I was like looking down, but on purpose. So I was like looking down, pretending I was texting. And then she came like super quick to where I was at. She's like, Bautista. Like they would call me Bautista. She's like, what are you doing? Like, what? I'm not doing anything. Like I'm just playing with my fingers. And she told coach, she's like, you're going to get it later. And I don't know what. So I was like, whatever. I didn't believe her. And then I saw her during practice and I was like, damn it.
So
there I go.
So it was like a text. It was a situation with the phone. And then it became a situation with your nails or your fingers.
Yes. Like, it was just dumb. Like, I wasn't a troublemaker in high school.
Uh-huh.
At all. Like, I was, like, super. Like, I just had my friends, and I didn't care about anybody else. Like,
okay. Let me ask you this. Because I work in schools, right? Did you ever make it to detention?
One time I got sent to ISS for school, for the dress code. That was so dumb. Okay. Sherilyn's really strict.
On dress code?
Yes. It was so dumb.
Was it like a shorts clothing item?
I had a button up, and I would wear a tank top under. And on the side, it kind of lifted because on the lady shirts, like it kind of goes on round on the side. And I picked up my arm, and you were able to see my skin.
Oh,
so
my
goodness.
ISS. That's unforgivable. You got to go to ISS for that. You got to go.
No, I was so
3 days.
Mad. I was like, seriously? No. Luckily, I didn't tell my parents because, like I said, I was in a troublemaker and I didn't want to disappoint them.
Yeah.
So I called my sister. My sister was in college at the time. So she went to go take me a shirt and she didn't tell my parents. She covered it.
And wow. Okay. Yeah. So was it 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days?
It was like for a couple of hours.
Oh,
it wasn't even a day. Like it was just so, I was literally in there with everyone who would always get in trouble. I was like, what am I doing here? Like,
right?
It's so dumb. Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What did your parents say?
They never found out. I don't even think they know. Because it wasn't... I did get in trouble in eighth grade, though, with my Spanish teacher.
Uh-huh.
But it was her fault. And my mom, like, they called my mom and everything. And it was, like, also dumb. But my mom backed me up on this because I told her the story. But after practice, my dad, he picked me up and we're driving. And he's like, so do you have anything to tell me? And he's like, no, like, everything was good. He's like, everything at school, like, everything's fine. I was like, yeah. So apparently my Spanish teacher called my mom saying that I was rude and I disrespected her. So I told my mom, like, well, because in eighth grade we had PE or like sports in the morning and right. Then we had like our periods. So you're hungry after you work out. And well, we would take hot Cheetos. So I knew my teacher liked hot Cheetos. So I would take them and I would share with everybody and even with her. And then one day she didn't want to share with me. She would share with everyone except for me. So I was like, you know what? Like, F this. So I took the hot Cheetos that she liked on purpose the next day and I was eating them in front of her and she asked me for some and I said, no, like you didn't give me some yesterday. So why am I going to give you some today? So she called my mom but whenever she was trying to tell my mom, like, well, Vanessa did this and this and this. She's like, well, she told me what you did. So she stayed quiet. Like she's like, okay.
Hey, let me ask you this. It's a very simple question. Were they hot mm-hmm. Cheetos or were they hot Cheetos?
No, hot Cheetos. Hot Cheetos.
I swear to God, I was at what we call La Pulga, and my daughter wanted something to eat, right? And I go, well, let me go get you a snack. And I get to the counter, I'm asking the lady, hey, you got any hot Cheetos? And she goes, what? I was like, hot Cheetos, you know, los fritos, right? I tell her. And she goes, sí, mira, ahí están. And I looked at the sign and it was J-A-C-H-I-R-O-S, hot Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos. That's so funny. And they have it like super big on the back.
Yeah. I don't want to be rude or anything. I didn't tell her like it's misspelled, like it's right on the bag.
we still understand
that's the beautiful part about the Valley, man. Like the Valley merges these two cultures that we have, right? And the Mexican culture and the American culture, and we're there, and we're it's fascinating.
Like we teach, yeah,
there's no other place like the Valley. Would you agree?
There isn't. Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, sometimes I want to leave, but it's home. It's home, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with their food, because if you go up north, you don't find the food that they have down here.
Well, that's what I was going to talk to you about. So now you're talking about food, and you made me hungry when we spoke earlier and we were talking about the King Tacos. And King Tacos up in California, I mean, I've heard about it. I've heard the rumors of how good they are, but... You've had them. I haven't. So tell me about it.
Hi, they're just so good. I'm real simple. Like, I don't like a lot of things. They have, like, the burritos, which is, like, rice, beans, and the meat. But the flavor on their meat, it's so good. Like, nothing down here has compared to the meat over there. My boyfriend says that I'm just hyping it up. But, no, like, his son, he also, when we went, he fell in love with it. So like that says something, because that little boy, he does not like a lot of things. So I don't know, like if you guys ever go to California, go to King Taco and just enjoy it, because once you come back, you're not going to find anything like that.
So that's you're talking sure. about the meat. You're saying that the meat, it's like no other meat that you've had.
Yeah, it's the flavor. I don't know what they put, or I know that they started off as a small trailer and they grew into, now they have like sit-in restaurant. Well, it's not a restaurant, but like the taco, you know, right, like sarape. Right. Yeah.
Well, there's this place. I apologize, but man, like there's this place here in the Valley that I say the meat is amazing. It's Aguilar's Meat Market. Shout out to Aguilar's Meat Market. But have you had meat from there?
I'm sure when we go. No, whenever we barbecue, we go to a rodeo here on 4 Mile.
Convenience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's close.
I mean, I've tried so many different meat markets, and nothing, in my opinion, compares to Aguilar's meat market. The quality of the meat there is just so soft. It's got this different taste to it. I mean, grass-fed. It's just so amazing. I challenge you to check it out.
I think there's one down the street also, more towards 107. I'm going to try it.
That's correct.
We're actually going to barbecue. Oh, sorry. We're going to barbecue tomorrow for my boyfriend's birthday. So I'll stop there.
How old is he going to turn?
32. We calculated yesterday, 32.
And you are? Oh, I shouldn't ask, but I already did.
I'm 21. No, just joking. I'm 29.
Oh, wow.
I know.
But, and this is where we're going to get a little on another topic here. So you're 29 mm-hmm. years old, and, we're here sitting down and having a good time talking about King Tacos and all that good stuff and Cali. Mm-hmm. But here's where I want to ask you some questions. So okay. I've met you one time, and in that one time, like I mentioned to you earlier, your family was very gracious enough to allow me to do something for my personal agenda. Nonetheless, I befriended you on Facebook and I started following your story, and I started, and it spiked my interest because you're 29 years old and your mm-hmm. body has gone through such an incredible amount of impact.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, at 27, sorry, I'm like getting teary-eyed. At 27, I got diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer. I was actually thinking the other day, like, man, it's been it's been a long time. Like, I always tell my boyfriend that it's crazy how from one day to the next, my life like literally changed. I went to the doctor prior to like the diagnosis because my body, it was going through things that it had never gone through before. And at first I didn't want to go, but one of my aunts also, she got diagnosed with leukemia at 27. Mm-hmm. So she would tell me, Vanessa, like, just go to the doctor. Like, you don't want to risk anything, And I was like, okay, like I will. So she gave me some information on one of her doctors, one of a specialist. So I went and I would tell them my symptoms, which was a lot of people always ask me what my symptoms were.
Right.
Mine personally was weight loss. I've always been petite, so I've always tried to gain weight and it's always been hard. But this time I was just like losing weight and unexplained. I would always eat. People would be surprised as how much I would eat. But I was still losing. I went from like 114, I went to 110, 105, 104 to like 99.
Right.
So, I something's wrong. So I went and I told my doctor, I was like, hey, like, I know you said it was, I'm going to go with like TMI, like hemorrhoids, right? Because I was bleeding. I was like, but something's not right. So she's like, oh, we can do a colonoscopy. Well, actually, I asked her for a colonoscopy and she said no at first. And I was like, well, I just prefer doing it like so I can have my peace of mind that it's not cancer. Because
right.
I think God was trying to give me a sign, because whenever I would watch TV, mm-hmm. Commercials would come on about colorectal cancer. And I'm like, no, like, it's just my head. It's just my head, So that's why I pushed for that colonoscopy. And I went in thinking like, okay, it's going to be ulcerative colitis, because that's what my doctor had said that it most likely was.
What was it? What was your doctor saying that it was?
Ulcerative colitis, UC.
Ulcerless colitis, UC.
Yeah. Ulcer. Okay. I don't know how to pronounce it.
That's fine.
If I had that, like, I would know how to pronounce
it. That's what the doctor was saying you might have had.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had gone on vacation. She's like, do you want the colonoscopy now? And I was like, no, I'm going to go on vacation. Like, let me just enjoy myself. And then once I come back, like, I'll do it. So the day after I came back, I did the prep, which was, it sucks, but it was worth it. And then they put me to sleep and thinking I was going to be fine. And I woke up and she's like, you have cancer. Like, that was literally the first thing she told me, like, you have cancer.
No bedside leadership whatsoever, just straight to the jugular.
No.
Who was this? Was this a doctor or was this the nurse?
The doctor. She was my doctor.
Okay,
so I'm not going to say any names, but...
No, that's perfectly fine, and we don't want to, but what you're telling me, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
This is something that I want my viewers to just pay close attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Your doctor does a study on you and mm-hmm. almost immediately comes to you and tells you have cancer. Like, doesn't sugarcoat it whatsoever.
Wow. Yeah, she didn't. And I was like, what? Like, are you sure? And she's like, you have a tumor and it's big. And so I was thinking, like, how can you tell me this? Like, you need to go get it sent to, you know, do a biopsy. But then I thought, I guess because I was so drowsy because of the medicine.
Right.
So I was just like crying, thinking like, how can this lady tell me this? Like, she doesn't even know. But then when I came to my senses, I'm like, you know what? This is what she does for a living. Like, she must know what it looks like, you know? So
right.
She ordered a CT scan for later that week. But luckily, my aunt works with doctors, and she got me in to get a CT scan, like, within the next couple of hours, which this doctor was pissed about, which I don't know why. She was really mad. So whenever I went back to the follow-up, she told me it was okay, it's cancer. I was like, okay. She's like, does your aunt have any oncologist that she prefers? I was like, what? Like, you're my doctor, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, she was really rude, and I was like, well, I've heard about MD Anderson. She's like, we don't refer to MD Anderson. I was like, okay. So wow. She got me a surgeon. Yeah, she got me a surgeon. I threw it away. Sorry. Sorry, my brother's here.
It's okay.
I know. I didn't know. Sorry. I'll tell you later. Where was I? She said that she didn't refer to MD Anderson and that they only work with certain doctors. So she got me a surgeon, so here in the valley. So I went to my surgeon. He's the one that told me it was stage four.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he tell me it was stage four? No, you know what? Okay, so I got the CT scan, and they had the radiologist who saw the scans only saw that tumor in my rectum.
Mm-hmm.
But then I give the scans to my aunt because she reads scans also.
Right.
And she knows kind of more about it. So she had her radiologist look at it, and they found a small lung nodule. So she's like, you know what? Nesha, she calls me Nesha. She's like, how about you get a CT, a PET scan, just to be safe. And I was like, okay, like, why? She's like, no, it's nothing. Like, don't worry about it. And I was like, okay. So I got the PET scan, and I guess they sent the results to my surgeon, and it was stage four. Like, they it was a really, really small nodule that it could have easily been missed. But I went to his office. My appointment was like at 2. I didn't get out of there till like 7. I was so mad. And then on top of that, he told me that it was stage 4. So I was like, okay, like, I was like calm, you know, I had already gone through my emotional thing.
Right.
But then my mom was in there with my aunt, and they took me to another room to examine me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him, I was like, hey, like you're this surgeon, like a colorectal surgeon, like what are your what do you think my chances are to beat this? And he's like, I was like, what? Like, seriously, like, that's what you're gonna give me?
Right.
And he's like, he just didn't give me any hope. So I walked out of there, and I've never been back there. And which surprised me, because he's, from what I've heard, he's a really good surgeon. Like, he's a really good doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I made an appointment with MD Anderson, and I stuck with them. I loved my team from the beginning.
Right.
They got me in right away. And my surgeon there, he's like, just because you have stage 4 cancer doesn't mean you're gonna, he's like, don't Google it. He's like, you're in the beginning stages. If you Google it, you're gonna see that you're gonna die in like 3 months, or, you know?
Right.
So he's always been really positive. I won't go to anybody else but that.
I'll tell you what though, man. This was 2 years ago, yeah?
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago, man. And you're a living testimony that all things are great through God himself. You know, there's no other reason, there's no other way, you know, mm-hmm. but God through Jesus Christ, yeah. Right? Amen.
Yes, amen. Honestly, like before, my mom, like before this whole cancer diagnosis, my mom was like, did you pray today? And I was like, yes, mom, yes, you know, but I wouldn't until this happened to me. And unfortunately, this had to happen to me for my faith to grow. Because when I was younger and I was doing like my confirmation, I would always ask questions or how do you know this is true? And I want proof. Like, how do you know the Bible wasn't written? Like, yeah, I was real stubborn. And I asked God for a sign, and he gave me one. Like, he gave me one 2 days before my first surgery. Mm-hmm. And that since then, like, I know he's there. I know he's listening. I know he's there. Like, it's his will to heal everybody, and everyone's going to get healed.
Amen. Amen. Yes. I mean, wow, that's a powerful testimony. And that's part of the reason why I asked you to be a part of this, because, you know, lessons learned through experiences, and experiences help others around me. And I think I read that in one of your posts where you're like inspiring individuals to get checked, you know, listen to your body. And you're young, man, you're a leader, you know?
Thank you. Yeah. Like, one thing I do tell people is, even if it's like a little thing that changed, in my case, it was my restroom habits. Mm-hmm. If something changes, or if you see something that's not normal, like, okay, once, like, let it go. But if it continues, like, just go get checked. Like, I know, and it's embarrassing to talk about because it's in my rectum, you know, like, not a lot of people want to talk about that.
Right.
I've never had so many people look at me in that area. But if I would have gone sooner, or if I would have, because I had symptoms about 3 years before I even went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So if I would have gone earlier, I would have maybe avoided a lot of things that I've gone through. But I mean, everything happens for a reason, and I'm here, and hopefully I'm here for a good time.
Now you're a mom also.
I'm a mom.
How old is your child?
She's 6 now.
So So 6 years ago, 23 years old. Were you feeling stuff then?
not then, but in high school I would. The other day, and I actually posted about this, I was just thinking, like, I think a lot, like, I have really bad anxiety. I just tend to overthink, and I was thinking that I wouldn't go to the restroom, like, in school, like, I would go to the locker room to go to the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend Ariel, she would go with me, like, that we would meet up to go to the restroom. It was super dumb. Okay,
y'all were skipping.
No, we were at school. We needed to
go to class. Yeah. You don't belong here, right?
Yeah. So I told her, I was like, hey, Kungi, I call her Kungis because hopefully she marries one of my brothers, but I was like, hey, do you bleed when you go to the restroom? She's like, what? No, like, that's weird. And I was like, oh, okay. She's like, you probably popped a vein. I was like, okay. So I would bleed in high school, but not often. So, and I need to ask my doctor about this. Like, I think my cancer was slow growing. So what if I had like a polyp when I was 17? I was a junior, she was a senior. So I was 17. Like, so what if I had like that little polyp when I was 17? If I would have told my parents, like, hey, this is happening to me, maybe I would have found out when I was 17, you know?
And part of that, I mean, I have a 12-year-old, and part mm-hmm. of that is that the conversations that need to be had are not had because we feel that it's embarrassing, or we feel that, you know what, it's not that important. Or, but the thing that we're learning, and I talked about this yesterday in my first podcast, that mm-hmm. we need to learn to communicate with our families to better understand them, because that's what we're trying to figure out. I want to understand your perspective.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really important. I have a cousin who tells her mom everything, mm-hmm. and man, she's brave. Cause I still don't tell my mom like a lot of things, not a lot of things, but like certain things I don't talk to her about, but she talks about everything. And I'm just like, wow, like if I would have been open to her like that, maybe we could have avoided a lot of this. So it's really important for kids to talk to their parents when they think something's not right or something's not normal. Because who's your, like I was telling my boyfriend, like you're your own advocate. Like if mm-hmm. you don't advocate for yourself or your kid, like if your parents don't advocate for you, then nothing's gonna get fixed or nothing's gonna come out of it, you know, because no one cares for you except for your family.
Or no one cares about you more than yourself should.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one thing I've learned. And my little girl also, she sees a specialist. I took her to Houston too because the specialists here, they was just like back and forth. I was like, you know what, like I'm tired of this. Like I'm just going to take her to Houston and they're doing something about it, you know?
Now, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this, because you bring up an important topic of conversation in my mind.
Yeah.
You have hospitals here in the Valley, and the Valley is consisted of different counties from Willacy all the way to Stark County, right? Mm-hmm. And in there, you have a large amount of hospitals in the McAllen area, in the Harlingen area, in the Brownsville area. Westlaco has a hospital as well. Rio Grande has a hospital as well. I mean, so we have hospitals. It's not like we don't have hospitals. But what's the difference from, in broad terms, what is the difference from hospitals in the Valley and hospitals in Houston? Why did you, as a parent, decide to take your child to Houston as opposed to keeping them here? Was it the wait time? What was it?
I think it's the sense of urgency that they have over there. I mean, it's a fast-paced city. I feel like here everything's more, we're like cultured, Mexican culture, you know? So everything's like, oh no, like it's okay, mija. Like, you know, like I feel like it's like that here in the hospitals. And I'm not trying to bash the doctors here.
No, anything, not,
there
not at all.
Are good doctors. Yeah. Right. But I just feel like over there, they're quick about it. Like if you have something, at least with the doctors that I've dealt with, like if you have a concern, they're going to look into it. They haven't let me down. So I think until they do, then I won't stop going over there.
And you know what? So the perception is that the turnaround is greater in those metropolitan areas as opposed to our area.
Yes. And I think since it's a larger city, there's doctors that are from all over the world, like all over the country. They go to that specific area because that's where everyone's at, you know? So I think that they bring what they've learned together and they have their team. And like my team, it's not just my surgeon and my oncologist. Like I have literally like a whole board, you know, that they I had a fistula. It's like a little hole that goes from one area to another. Mm-hmm. I heard my doctor on the phone with another doctor from somewhere else, like, what do you think we should do? And I heard her like saying back, well, these are her options. And so they bounce ideas back and forth. And I feel like here it's just like one way and that's it.
Well, you know, collaboration is very important, you know, in all aspects. And you're talking to somebody who is getting his doctorate in healthcare administration. So it's very eye-opening to hear how we can better make our hospital systems here in the Valley. Not to say that that's not happening. But education is very important in order to make progress. So,
yes.
So, you know, earlier you heard me talk about bedside leadership, and bedside leadership is a term that one of my buddies in California is doing his dissertation on. And he feels that, again, that right there, when your nurse is at your bedside, it's important to care, to give urgency to their needs and you know, just make them comfortable to the maximum extent possible. So what I heard you say was that bedside leadership was not there, but on the, I can understand the flip side, and the flip side is there is something urgent that I'm seeing and there's no way to sugarcoat it. I need to let you know now.
Yes, and I'm the type of person who is like, hey, you tell me straight out. So I guess I minded because I was like in a vulnerable stage, and with anesthesia, you're like out of it.
Right.
So I'm glad that she told me that, because if we would have waited the 10 days, I would have been 10 days behind. And man, like, cancer spreads like a wildfire. Like, it spreads quick and it's scary. So, I mean, I'm glad she told me quick, and I was able to do something about it when I did. Just, she could have said a little bit like, you know,
let me put some sprinkles on it, you know.
Yeah, it's just a little bit, you
let
know?
Me sprinkle my fairy dust and no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's something, you know, it's building relationships, most importantly, and I would probably venture to say that your doctor, you know, maybe didn't carry a great relationship with you, because, you know, the professionalism, you know, you're my patient, you know, I got to be very professional, you know, and that makes sense. But
it does.
I'm the type, I'm just like you. Give it to me, give it to me straight, you know, but at the same time, be real with me. Let me know. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like my doctor over there, and I speak about my surgeon more because he's the one that I've seen from day one. He's the first one I spoke to over there.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been, man, I've seen him cry with me. Like, he's cried with me. He's held my hand. He's held my parents' hand. Like, he's prayed with my mom. You know, like, he's a really nice man.
Yeah.
Like, I can speak very highly of him.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's good, man. So earlier we were also talking about music that you know that you go on. You know, some of it ranges from Intocable to Blue October and country. And not that this is a complete flip of what we're talking about. But what were some of the items that you were talking about, or that you were listening to in that time? And what are you listening to now?
Well, yeah, like Blue October, I've never seen them in concert, and I don't even know if they're still like together, you know, but I like to listen to really old music. So like the whole Intocable, like, Duelo, Signo, like, I love that music, but depending on my mood, you know, when I work out, I listen to techno, to EDM, to festival music. When I feel like more relaxed, I'll listen to country. Like, you know, I just get real into it. So I don't know, like, lyrics, but I like the tune.
you call Intocable old. You call EDM festival music old. You're making me feel old. I mean, because that's...
No. Like, older. Because I know now people listen to, like, rap and, like, I don't know. It just gives me a headache sometimes. And I'm just like, what? Like, my little girl, she listens to, like reggaeton. I'm like, where the heck did you learn this?
But your 6-year-old dad listened to reggaeton,
because her dad, like, on that side, like, they listen to that type of music.
Alexa, so, play Despacito.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
Despacito by Luis Fonsi and Daddy Yankee from Apple Music.
Is this stuff that your daughter listens to?
This is what she listens to, and I'm like, where did you learn this? Because I do not listen to that. Now I do because of her, but this song I learned because of her.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm not a big fan of this. I'll tell you what I am a big fan of. Look, hold on. Check this out. One of my boys from Nigeria, shout out to Chib, because he turned me on to this type of music. Check this out. Hold on. Alexa, play Afrobeats playlist.
Afrobeats hits from Apple Music.
It's real, like, calm and smooth.
It's feel good music, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know, it's
what? It's not even. Yeah, it's like a nice beat to it, like real, like, chill.
Yeah, I can listen to this all day, every day.
Yeah, like it's real relaxing. Like the other music just like makes my heart race. Like
right.
Yeah.
So that's Nigerian Afrobeats playlist.
And oh wow, I need to write that down.
There's just a whole bunch of good music there. Like it's very, very chill, very, very good. I don't understand a lot of the stuff that they're saying, but yeah. it's great.
Yeah, like my boyfriend, he's also like, hey, listen to this Indian type music, and it's like real, it's different. I'm like, oh wow, like, you know, like he goes on YouTube and he'll like start scrolling and he comes across some different things. And it's just different, like everyone's culture
It really is, man. And I think that's what we miss here in our areas, you know, given our area, we're about 98-99% Mexican. So
yeah,
we stick to what we know, right? Which is Mexican music and so forth. And, you know, like some top 40 and some country and so forth. But at what point does one break the barrier and start seeking other cultures to understand?
Yeah.
So you graduated from Cherryland, right? And it was probably around the same thing, 98-99% Mexican.
I would say so. Yeah. More than likely.
Right. And
yeah.
I went to a high school where I had different cultures. I had let me see, Nigerian, I had Filipinos, I had Koreans, African American, there's just a wide range of cultures.
Where'd you go?
In Mercedes, there's this place called South Texas High School for Health Professions, aka Med High.
Yeah, I was gonna go there, but they didn't have sports, so I was like, nah.
Yeah, I could care less for sports, you know, other than what I watch on TV, you know. But other than that, I mean, it's one of those things where like you get in where you fit in, and I was always like one of those individuals that I love education. I love to learn. Yeah. I love to learn new things, and that's where we're at, man. But going back to you, we talk about music. We talked about food. We talked about don't ignore your body. What final message would you tell our listeners out there? I mean, what else would you tell young girls out there? You know, that are finding their way.
I mean, I would tell them the same thing. If you don't feel that something's right in anything, not just like your body, but just in your life, like if you feel that it's wrong, go do something about it. Don't ignore the red flags. Don't stay quiet. Like speak out, because like I said, you're your best advocate. Like no one's gonna offend except for yourself. Like you're gonna do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for example, my little girl, she was my biggest motivation. Like I asked God, like, hey, like if it, you lend her to me. So I mean, at first I was mad. I was like, but if you're gonna, why are you gonna take me away from her? You know,
mm-hmm.
I was like, but if it's your will, for me to stay in her life, then heal me, or, you know, give me more life. Or if it's your will to heal me by like letting me pass, like then that will be too, like she'll have my memory. But that's something that I try to teach her, is that she has to stand up for herself. I mean, that's the most I can say.
So you're telling girls, stand up for yourselves.
Yeah.
Be your biggest advocate.
Yes.
Right on. Now here's where we start talking about what the future holds for Vanessa. So what is something that you're working on right now? What are some projects that you're working on that will definitely, that are huge in your life right now?
Right now I am still employed by Wells Fargo. I don't know when I'm going to go back, but I've started a small business. I started this like 3 summers ago. And I started off something small, but now I do, bridal invitations, event invitations, custom gifts. And we recently started a construction company. So we're in the process of building our second home. So if you guys need a house, let me know.
What's the name of your company? What's the name of your bridal event company? Tell our listeners who to look out for.
For the bridal gifts and invitations, it's Aria's Treasure Chest. I started this name because I had something else in mind. So one day soon, I'm going to rebrand. but you can find me on Instagram or on Facebook, Arias Treasure Chest. The construction company, we just started it this year, Lone Star Homes. That's with my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. We built our first house, and before we even finished it, we sold it. So now we're on our second home. Hopefully the same thing happens. And yeah, our goal is to have different incomes from different sites. So
you're a smart girl. you're way beyond your years at 29. You already know, hey, you gotta have different avenues of income.
You have to. I mean, it's, for example, like I work with Wells Fargo. Say I would have had to leave that job. Like, where was I going to get money from, you know?
Right.
I'm not the type of person. This has been the longest I've ever been out of work. Like, not at somewhere, like, working, you know? So it's hard. I've always, like, whenever I would be at work, I'm like, man, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. But no way, that's not for me. Like, I need to go do something.
Right.
But if I would have lost my job there, like, where was I going to get money from? Like, I'm not the type to go ask, you know, like, hey, you have to pay for my thing since we're together. Like, no, we're 50-50. So we have to. That's another thing we're trying to teach the kids. Like, you have to work hard for what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very important. Now, this is something that I've discussed with several people. Like, at what point did you start understanding that you need to work hard 50-50, have different sources of income? Muscle Metals, what age?
I want to say I started really young. By the time I was in college, I already knew that if I wanted something, I had to save for it. I couldn't go out spending. I never went through that, like, oh, I'm going to get my paycheck, I'm going to spend everything, like, on one weekend, you know? Mm-hmm. My parents always taught me I had a car payment, so I need to a phone. Anything I wanted, I had to pay for it. So, like, my car, my phone, my food, everything. So I think by 18, 19, I was already building my credit. I wanted my credit score to be as high as it could be. I mean, I had a few setbacks.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, every teenager does, but... But who taught you about credit? I mean, I think that's important. But who taught you about that? Was it your parents or was it somebody at school?
You know what? No, my parents never talked to me about that. My aunt, the one that I said that had leukemia, she's the one that talked to me about it because she was paying bills. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I didn't know anything. She's like, oh, you have to. I'm paying my credit cards. Like, oh, like, what is that? And she's the one that told me, like, don't pay your minimum payment. You always want to give double. Like, you want to not spend more than 30% of your credit limit. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's something. I was really good at it. But, you know, you meet people and you lend them your credit. Like, don't ever lend people your credit. And
even if they're family?
Even if they're family. Like, unless you have money to put up if they cannot pay, and then do it, you know? But I'm just like, no. Like, I learned my lesson. And my credit, believe it or not, it went to like 520. I was so embarrassed. Like, and this was 5 years ago. I was like, oh my God, like, my credit's never been like this. And now it's like at a 750. So I was like, okay, like, I did what I had to do. I budget myself, and that's what I'm trying to teach my little girl.
Shout out to the club 750 and above. You know, we enjoy the finer things in life, you know what I'm saying? But
I'm still trying to get to that 800 mark, but that's hard.
It's hard. I'll tell you what though, man, my brother I think he's already hit that mark. I almost hit that mark, you know. I was like 5 points away. And then all of a sudden, like, it goes back down.
Yes, you're like, what did I do? No, that's one thing we're working. My boyfriend and I, we want a home. So from the beginning, when we first met, like, we happened really quick. Like, we met and we just hit it off. And he wanted the same things I wanted financially. He comes from a family, like, when he was younger, he didn't have a lot. I was fortunate to have parents, like, with some money, but you know, things happen. So yeah. I learned quick, and he said that he doesn't want to grow up the way, or he doesn't want his son to grow up the way like he did. So now we're just hard workers for my little girl and for his son.
I tell my daughter, like recently, like I started telling her, hey, you know, you want to buy something, buy some stocks, right? And she's learning like, oh my God, how much money do I have now, Dad? Like,
yeah, my little girl wanted, she wanted The Sims like on the Xbox. Uh-huh. And I was like, well, how, it was like $50. And they go, how much money do you have? And she like brings out her little mailbox. Like she has her money. She had like 20 some dollars. And I was like, I don't know. Like, you know, but I mean, I gave her the difference. She tried to keep the mailbox with her money. And I was like, no. I was like, that you use towards your game. So uh-huh. Now she's saving again for a Nana surprise doll.
It's very important. But, we give these lessons yeah. to our kids, you know, saying like, these are lessons that we didn't get. I would
yeah.
say.
So. Yeah, I mean, I didn't get those. But I think it's really important to teach them. To teach them young.
Yeah. Hey, Vanessa, hey, man, I want to thank you for spending an hour with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for having me.
Hearing your story, it's been a pleasure having you here as a guest on episode number 2. I'm pretty excited for you. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes we you know, we have this idea in our head, but oftentimes we don't
run with it.
Yeah, we don't implement, you know, we fail to execute. And I'm on the mentality of, I have the idea, let's do it. If I fail, you know, I'll learn from it. But if I want to make it better, you know, how bad do you want it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And after going through like the whole cancer ordeal, like that's one thing you mentioned was my hair color. It's like, okay, like I went from like blonde to like red. I was like, you know what, like, you only like YOLO, right? Like you only live once. So you know what? Just like screw it. Like who cares what people think? Like if it's different or whatever. Like you bite the bullet and you do what you have to do to get where you want.
Alexa, play The Motto by Drake.
Motto featuring Lil Wayne by Drake from Apple Music.
Oh,
this is I listened to this too.
This is YOLO, right? This is where he says YOLO.
That, I don't think so. This one, maybe, I don't know. I suck at lyrics.
Yeah, anyways, you know, you say YOLO, and I remember there.
Oh, that yeah, you only live once. That's a motto. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
There you go.
Well, hey, man,
I have to get into them.
It's been an amazing journey here talking with you. It's been great talking to you. One final message. Let's recap. One last thing you want to tell out to our viewers or listeners. This is going to be out there for years and years and years, you know, unless the internet shuts yeah. down. But what do you want to tell them?
I mean, I'm going to say it again. Listen to yourself. Listen to your body. Believe in God. He does miracles one way or another. Like he's there, he's listening to you. And I know firsthand because I went through some hard, in the beginning of this year, I was in a state where like, I didn't even want to be here anymore. And like, look at me now, like I'm happy. I'm loving life. Like,
With red hair.
like, it's just God has, man, he really pulled through for me and my family. And stay close to your family because they're the ones who are going to push you through everything. Man, they were there for me. All of them. Family's like your number one thing.
Well, your family was there for me. I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart.
Yeah, and my family's super nice. My parents, they're really nice.
Yeah, and we'll be back and we'll definitely keep in touch. You know, where can they follow you on Instagram, on Facebook, whatever social media you want to give a shout out to?
Well, you can find me. My Facebook is, I'm under Vanessa Bautista. I think I have like, I'm shooting a gun at the range on Instagram. Yeah, it was pretty fun. I was scared. I was nervous, but I did good. On Instagram, I'm under Nessa09, I think. Just search me up. Like I'm real open about my life. If you guys have questions, feel free. Don't be embarrassed. I'm an open book. So there you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. That's the end of our podcast for today. Vanessa, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys on episode 3. Bye, guys.
Awesome. Bye.